Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Before we head to Jonas, fifth caller right now, 410-583-1057. You get two tickets to see Seether and Daughtry October 12th at Pier 6 Pavilion. 410-583-1057. Tickets to see Seether and Daughtry. And the Ravens minicamp in the books. I think the vets have to be at training camp by July 22nd, so it's a little bit of a break. It's a perfect time to talk to our friend Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So since we last spoke, Jaire Alexander is a Raven. What did you think of the signing?
Good bit of business for the Ravens. You know, $4 million guaranteed, up to $6 million. I think it is definitely a fair price to pay. The fact that you're basically paying nothing for Awuzie, and now you got close to nothing for Jaire Alexander, and those are two potential starters. You know, we'll see when the rubber hits the road in July and August just how those guys actually hold up in the heat and with the physicality of actually getting back on the grind. But, you know, when I went back and watched Jaire Alexander last year, I was really impressed. I mean, like, I think it's pretty unfortunate and pretty telling that you have the kind of Jaire Alexander experience distilled into two plays where it's the end of the, you know, his second to last game last year. And he undercuts a ball for, you know, a great pass defense in the end zone. And then on the next play, it's another jump ball to the end zone. He kind of, you know, tails off his man to go make a play on it. And he just, you know, completely comes up lame and gimpy. And there's no real obvious explanation for what went wrong in his knee besides the fact that, just, you know, he's clearly not right. So, you know, we'll see if this comes of anything. You know, it could be a Jadeveon Clowney-level signing. It could be a Rocky Sin-level signing. It's always tough to figure out exactly where these guys, with as many miles on their body and as many injury concerns as Alexander has, can do. I don't think, you know, judging from what I saw last year on tape, like, you want him to be the guy who's matching up with Ja'Marr Chase man-on-man on, you know, 3rd and 5. But I think he's got great eyes in zone. I think he still has some stickiness in man coverage. And if you're paying, you know, $4 to $5 million a year for a guy like that who can help you cover up one of the few rough spots on your defense, and I say, you know, go ahead and sign that deal.
I guess in terms of trickle down too. I mean, if he and Wiggins can hold things down on the outside, you know, not like exclusively, but. Pretty well, and you have the kind of offense we think they're going to have, which puts a lot of pressure on the other team to keep pace scoring, which means they probably have to throw the ball a lot, which means they're probably trying to spread you out, and you've got the potential to have Marlon and Kyle Hamilton in the slot. I mean, I got to think Chuck Pagano would be pretty excited about that proposition.
Oh, yeah. I think the only guys who aren't excited about this are just the guys at the end of that depth chart.
Yeah.
It's a rough scene for them. It's a rough scene for David Ojabo. It's going to be, yeah, I assume we'll have some injuries in training camp that might clarify the picture. But to your point, Jason, I mean, like, I can't imagine if there's anyone happier in that room right now than Chuck Pagano, because in the time that they hired him, they drafted the top safety in the draft. They got a little bit unlucky with Ardarius, of course, but, you know, that's what makes Malachi signing so important. And now you've got a guy who can have, you know, a potentially rejuvenating prove a year in Baltimore, where maybe he does look, you know, more like his old Pro Bowl, All-Pro self, and he does, you know, give you something that he hasn't really been able to give Green Bay in terms of his longevity the past years. And I guess what I'm curious to see is, like, you know, when it is those, you know, heavier formations and the Ravens have to decide, all right, who are going to be our two cornerbacks in the field? Is it going to be Nate Wiggins and Marlon Humphrey? Is it going to be Marlon Humphrey and Jaire Alexander? Is it going to be, Jaire Alexander and Nate Wiggins? I think that Marlon's pretty clearly number one on that pecking order.
Yeah.
But you've got three super, super talented guys. And I raise that question just because, you know, if they face a lot of teams with a lot of heavy personnel, then that's going to get in the way of Jaire Alexander's bid for, you know, 50% snaps. And obviously, I don't think he'll be, you know, too pressed for playing time or for money, because he obviously took less to come to Baltimore. But it is just one more wrinkle to kind of consider as the season unfolds.
Jonas, we saw this defense lead the NFL in takeaways in 2023, but then last year really slipped. They were in the bottom half of the league, and we heard Marlon Humphrey last week talk about the importance of getting takeaways this year. This defense on paper, do they have the potential to get back near the top in terms of forcing turnovers?
I mean, on paper they do, sure, but it's such a, you know, spin the wheel type of situation. You just there's nothing really predictive from year to year that someone or that some team, some defense is going to be near the top of the league in turnovers or turnovers forced. I mean, you know, so much of fumble recoveries is just how the ball bounces. And I think you could say a good bit of that applies to interceptions as well. I mean, you know, Kyle Hamilton should have had an interception in that game at Cleveland. And he doesn't, and they go on to lose that game in pretty heartbreaking fashion. So do I think the pass rush should be better with, you know, a fourth-year Travis Jones and another year of Adafi Owe and Mike Green throwing the mix there and Davis Robinson probably taking a leap? Yeah, certainly. But I think it's probably easier to predict that there will be an uptick in, you know, pressure rate and win rate than there will be in turnovers, just because, you know, there really is no rhythm or rhyme to how these things go from year to year.
Talking with Jonas Schaefer, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jonas, what did you think of Chuck Smith and his defense of Zach Orr this past week?
It was pretty good to hear. I guess not all that surprising, considering, you know, just some of the slings and arrows that we saw hurled at the kind of culture that is there. I think it also... I think we talking with you guys last week, just, you know, that this could be a situation where you just want to get ahead of the hype for Chuck Pagano. You know, you want to make sure that everyone knows around the league that Zach Orr is the one who's driving this bus, not anyone else. And, you know, it was, you know, curious to see how the Ravens kind of covered it on social and on a website and everything. And it seems like that there was a more of a fervent coverage of it outside of the Ravens than inside the Ravens, which, you know, might speak to just some of the power dynamics there. But I think it's the, you know, sign of a, you know, you talk about the sign of a healthy locker room, the sign of a healthy player-led culture. And I think we probably overlook how important it is that everyone on the coaching staff is getting along together. And I don't know that that's always been the case, you know, the past couple of years under John Harbaugh.
Is something... I shouldn't even say a close approximation, but someone who could play multiple offensive line positions in a pinch, not to the level McCary did and not to the extent all five McCary did, but is someone who could toggle maybe between tackle and guard, who's played at a decent, you know, replacement or close to it level at the NFL for some period of their career. Is that still kind of a sneaky need for this team?
Yeah, it is. I think so. But again, you go back and you do the back of the napkin math on this offensive line. And you're like, all right, are you signing a guy like that and hoping to sneak a Dellinger onto the practice squad? Mm-hmm. Or are you, you know, I assume that the Ravens are going to lock in Carson Vince into their 53 because they don't want to, you know, let another team get their hands on that, you know, ball of clay, unless he just has a totally disastrous preseason and he looks, you know, unplayable for 31 other teams. So, you know, it's certainly a need. I think the Emory Jones situation is such a bummer because he was that guy who could toggle. And now if we don't even know when he's coming back, then it's really tough to, you know, say, all right, the next man up at that toggling position is Ben Cleveland, because, you know, we all just remember how disastrous his reps at tackle have been. But, you know, it seemed like he lost a little bit of weight this offseason. Maybe they would trust him to be a little bit more productive out there on an island. Still wouldn't be to my liking, but we'll see how that goes. So if, you know, someone is available there who the Ravens like, you know, wouldn't surprise me. But again, there are just so few, you know, open roster spots right now. And I think if the Ravens aren't going to, you know, play the young guys at cornerback, then I feel like the pressure from Bishotti at some point is going to be like, all right, then what am I investing all these draft picks for? Mm-hmm. At these other positions, if we're not going to give them a chance to develop.
Jonas Lamar Jackson really came to the defense of Mark Andrews when he met with the media last week. What are your expectations for Andrews in terms of production this year? Of course, him and Likely both entering contract years. Is this the year that maybe Likely outproduces Andrews, or is it going to be more of the same?
Yeah, it's a good question. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets more catches. I think Mark is always going to be the more dangerous downfield weapon because he has the speed vertically that I think Isaiah doesn't really have. I thought Mark looked great in OTAs, or I guess more so minicamp, where he was making those kind of prototypical Mark Andrews catches down the seam. He was running those deep crosses where he's just made such a living on over the years in Baltimore. So I think I'm probably in like the 1% of, you know, Baltimore media / Baltimore fans in terms of what my expectations for Mark Andrews are. I think, you know, you look at the film, he's still getting open. You look at the stats that they show that he's still getting open. I think he had like the highest, one of the highest average separation scores on like Fantasy Pros, on, you know, one of those other fantasy websites among all the tight ends. So I don't know if he's quite as fast as he used to be in his prime. I think, you know, obviously certainly some of those injuries have taken their toll on him, what he can do dynamically as an athlete. But I still think the world of him as a player. And, would I expect him to go for 1,000 yards this season? Probably not, considering just how many other weapons there are on this team. But listen, I don't think it's I don't think it was a mistake that he was one of the most efficient receivers in the NFL when targeted last year in terms of EPA and pass rating and everything. And he just needs to show up and show it in the playoffs. And you could say that about a lot of guys on this team.
John, is more importantly, with this break, you going to be doing anything interesting before training camp?
Oh, I wish I had more exciting stuff to do. Just get my life in order. Get my life in order and trying to figure out what exactly I could do to kill the time for the next month or so. But no grand vacations planned or anything like that. Maybe I'll do a cool weekend somewhere. But for the most part, just trying to figure some stuff out.
You could always try to see how much chocolate and whole milk you could drink in a four-hour span.
Yeah,
if you get ridiculously bored.
Yeah.
You could try the Beltway Ben Hall Challenge.
Yeah.
Half gallon of whole milk, half gallon of chocolate milk in a four-hour span.
Yes. He did it and lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Chasing before I had type 1 diabetes, that would have been something I absolutely would have done.
Oh.
Now it's probably not such a great idea.
Yeah,
so you put down some milk back in the day?
Ben has type 1.
Yeah, Ben has diabetes too.
He's calling you out.
I didn't ever do the gallon challenges, but I probably crushed, three bowls of Honey Nut Cheerios and Honey Bunches of those back in the day. So I love milk. I think I attribute my sterling medical record, otherwise, the diabetes notwithstanding, to just pounding milk as a kid, like never broken a bone, never torn a ligament. And I do think my chances of osteoporosis are pretty low, just with how much milk I had as a kid.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He will not be drinking a gallon of milk anytime soon, but
Ben will be drinking for two.
Yes. Yeah, Ben will be drinking for the both of you. Jonas, thanks as always, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast. Ravens are in Super Bowl or bust mode, and part of that could be winning all their home games. Could the Ravens run the table at home? They have not done it often, and it's been a minute. We'll discuss next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's here on The Fan. Here's what I'm looking at. The last 2 years, they've lost a home game early in the season to a team that they were a heavy favorite against. Both times, the Gardner Minshew, so that's not going to happen this year. But the Raiders and the Colts, they do take Cleveland on early at home. And then I'm looking at another game that expectations are going to be low for a loss, that I could see a scenario. How about the Jets in November coming to town? Like, that's one of those where they kind of sleepwalk through it. Next thing you know, they got divisional games on either side of it. And
you trappy trap.
Yeah, you end up giving a game away you had no business losing.
Yeah, I mean, look, that has been the trend. And that's not just them. That's league-wide.
Yes.
I mean, that's human nature.
Sure.
That's this marathon it's a physical marathon, right? You look at the number of games, and well, and it's only going to keep going up. It doesn't compare to other sports, but it is, it's incredibly grueling, and it's hard to be as emotionally high as you need to be to play this game when you're playing a team outside your division that everybody thinks you're going to stomp. And look, Mike Tomlin, as great as he is, his teams fall prey to this. Like, that's another thing that just makes me marvel against Belichick, because like it, he was there forever in New England. They didn't lose the teams they weren't supposed to lose to at home.
No,
like if I feel like it no. never like what maybe in a division like once every other year like a mediocre Miami team yeah. might get them, but like
Rex and the Jets maybe.
But those Rex teams weren't mediocre. Yeah, they were going to championship games.
Yeah.
I'm talking about losing to bad teams.
Sure. They dominated that division for, what, 20 years?
It was a garbage division.
It was a garbage division.
Took advantage of it. Hey, coming up next, remember the Orioles and the Rangers start a three-game series. Baltimore Baseball Night's about an hour from now, live from Pickles. It'll be Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken. And coming up next, Adley Rutschman's going to be out a while. Maverick Hanley now on the concussion IL. Is it Sam Basayo time? All the young dudes next here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So we haven't talked about him, just to make it perfectly clear, but you know, from my point of view, just as a development guy, I'm a long-term development guy, not necessarily this, but as a development guy, what I would love to see is him absolutely knock the door down. I don't think you take a guy like Sammy Basayo and you bring him to the big leagues just because there's a need. I think you bring a Sammy Basayo to the big leagues when he's destroyed AAA in all facets of the game, his at-bats, his defense, everything. So when he destroys AAA and he knocks the door down, to me, then he becomes part of the conversation. I don't personally think you bring a guy to the big leagues with that type of profile until that happens.
So Adley Rutschman's going to be out until at least after the All-Star break, and Maverick Hanley, who came up to replace Adley, is now on the concussion IL, so people have speculated, does that mean it's Sam Basayo time? And that's Tony Manzolino throwing some cold water on that. Now, to Sam Basayo's credit, he is having a hell of a month of June. 6 homers, 14 RBIs, batting .352, slug of .435, on base of .435, slug is sitting at .722. The issue is he hadn't played a whole lot of defense, right? Right? Like, so when is that time?
Well, let's be real. They don't develop defense.
No.
Who's come up here as a plus defender?
I agree. Full disclosure, though, he's been hurt, so that's slowed down his defense.
I understand that. And catchers take longer. And I'm not advocating for him to be called up now, but I'm just playing a little devil's advocate there. Like, the old guy got fired in part because he started saying the quiet part out loud. Well, I'm pretty limited here, and some of them don't hit because they can't catch, and we didn't teach them to catch in the minors, or we didn't get them to the positions they needed to be in for the majors soon enough. Therefore, they're trying to learn on the fly at the major league level, which is counterintuitive and should be anathema to what they have sort of told you that they're going to be, which is this incubator of young talent. I would just say his calling card, right, is his bat. And it's bat-to-ball skills and extreme elite left-handed pure power, not just left-handed pull-side power, but pure power. Our friends at Fangraphs recently had a story up. Projections fueled top 30 hitting prospects mid-season 2025 update. And now that we're a bit of the ways through the minor league season, they ran their numbers, advanced stats on every minor league hitter. Take a wild guess who they're most bullish on right now. Even more bullish on him than Roman Anthony.
That would be Sam Basayo.
Big Sam.
Yeah, he came in number one in this numerical exercise that they did, looking at bat data and ball to bat data and all the at the vanguard of all the different analytic numbers that are out there from a hitting perspective. Now, this didn't quantify and calculate defense. I would just say, though, this kind of talk baffles me. It makes me chuckle a little bit because I was thinking about it last night. Who have they brought in here? Not only do they not develop defense, but they brought in Frazier. He wasn't any good at second base anymore. They brought in Odor. He was past the stage of being able to field his position anymore. They signed Sanchez, a bad DH, to play catcher. They signed O'Neill. I watched him for one weekend, said this guy can't move. Like, what are we talking about here?
They don't
right?
value defense.
So, but now, you know what I mean? But they use it as a crutch to, because they're scared to bring some of these kids up at various times. They're scared of their own shadow. They don't know what the hell they're doing over there. That's become abundantly clear. But I like how they both sides this to spin it however they need it at any given moment to spew whatever rhetoric they want to spew. But like, who do you think he's going to be really, like, when he's up here eventually, by August, how much better do you think he's going to be defensively as a catcher then than he is now? Now, you don't hopefully need him to catch as much then, which is part of why I don't want him here now. But let's be real. They have who have they developed?
Defense is anathema to Mike Elias.
He still would get probably, what, 20, 30 more games under his belt.
I don't want him here now, but I think this is convenient pablum.
It's convenient, but it's also, the kid's 20 years old. And to bring him up at this point when he's caught 16 games this year, 11 games last year, so 27 games at catcher at the AAA level. And a lot of it is because of the injuries, like you were saying, Ken. The bat's there and everything, but even if they were to bring him up today, even though he should play almost every day if you're going to make that move, we know he wouldn't. Yeah. We know he is never going to start against a left-handed pitcher. It's not going to happen.
I don't know which is making me chuckle more, the idea of bringing him up now or the idea that they're going to trade him for a frontline starter. And I know we're going to get into that a little more tomorrow, but still, like, both of these things kind of make me laugh. Like, just let him continue to progress at AAA.
Yeah, I mean, their failed season shouldn't expedite, like, his arrival. But anybody who's trying to tell you that what he's doing right now as a 20-year-old at AAA is not absolutely demolishing that league doesn't know what the hell they're looking at. Like, that is an advanced league. That he is like, five and a half, 6 years younger than the average player in that league. I think most years it's around 26 and a half. And he's destroying the league. He's destroying pitching in that league. He's getting on base at an elite rate. Yeah, 20% strikeout rate. Maybe it's not totally ideal. It's a hell of a lot better than a lot of their kids have had at AAA. He's doing absolute damage. So, like, was Jackson Churio more ready than him? Like, I don't think so. Well, and like, so, I mean, we can, you know, is Roman Anthony right now as a hitter more ready than Sam Basayo?
Have the injuries that he's had this year and he was catching more, I'd be more comfortable with what they got going on bringing him up just because the hit tool's there.
You've been on Sam since Delmarva. What do you think of him defensively?
I think you could live with him. Here's what scares me. They can't come up with plans for normal prospects. How can I trust them to come up with a plan for this one, right? Who really should be toggling between two positions and DH. Like, they can't figure out until he's 26 and a half years old that Heston Kjerstad can't play the outfield. Like, could they come up with a plan and not go have some other waiver claim who they fall in love with, you know, in the offseason who then keeps him from playing like he should at the start of next year? Like, could they cultivate a plan to clear a path for him to play 3 days a week at first base, catch 2 days, and then maybe have a DH day? Like, that doesn't seem like rocket science to me, but they haven't been able to do it for anybody.
Look at Kobe Mayo.
Yeah,
right now.
Kobe Mayo's finally a first
base. And this is trickier because it involves catching.
Yeah.
Much trickier.
But we've been saying Kobe Mayo's got to be a first base months ago, maybe years ago, and he's finally
and
a first
I've been
base.
Saying if this team is ever who they really think they are and as good as they think they are, then carrying three catchers might have to be a part of the plan because Adley doesn't hit when he catches because you'd want to be careful how much you catch this kid. You know what I mean? Like, but again, wow, now we're really, that's going to require some real thought. Like, they can't handle traditional, easy, like, slam dunk kind of stuff. Kobe Mayo isn't playing every day now, right? Even with Mountcastle on the 60-day IL. So you're telling me that they could figure out how to toggle these two?
Cubby Mayo drove in the tying run Friday night, had two hits. He didn't. He wasn't going to play the rest of the series if Westberg doesn't get hurt.
But if this kid keeps doing what he's doing, and we're on the other side of the trade deadline, and they've just sold, he should be up here. Because guess what?
Oh, he'll be up here.
Guess what? I don't know that he's ever going to catch 5 days a week. But if you have, and part something I really beg them to do, because you could tell he could play first base. I remember last time we had Michael Elias on the show, man, why don't you put him in right field? Like, I know he can play first base. You know he can play first. Why don't you start putting right fielder there? Well, we don't think he could do three things at once. Well, yeah. No, he can play first base. Why don't you start getting the right field in? Because at a certain point in time, he might be a first baseman, DH, right fielder.
Orioles and Rangers coming up tonight at 6:30, Baltimore Baseball Night, 5:30 live from Pickles. It's Bob Haney and Ryan Ripken. And Matt Weirich is going to join us at 5 o'clock, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. We have some updates from Tony Manzalino on some injuries. He just spoke to the media, and we'll take a look at those Texas Rangers as we preview this series next here on The Fan.
Yeah, you know, we like to think we're greedy. We wanted to get this one. I thought we had our chances to get this one. I feel like, yeah, it got away from us. You know, missing a key hit here and there, you know, keep things rolling. But you take the series, I guess you look at a positive, which we will, and now we're going to Baltimore, see if we can keep taking series.
It's Bruce Bochy, future Hall of Fame manager, currently of the Texas Rangers, and the Rangers sit at 38-40. It's been a bit of a scuffle for them this year. Jason, I think we thought they'd be a playoff team, and I don't know if they look like it yet.
No. Could you imagine how much fun we'd have if Boch was the skipper? Oh. Here? With that voice, the segments we could do, the little.
He sounds like the guy. Who's the guy? Sam Elliott, yes. I was going to say the guy from Roadhouse.
Yeah.
The Orioles version of Monkey Business.
Oh, yeah. But I mean Major League skippers talk every day. Monk, yeah. We're counting down how many are left. Boch, yeah. You're getting him. And guess what? I don't think he takes Sundays off, unlike the previous guy around here.
No.
So you'd get off.
Literally
eat all the
spoke
Boch
on Sunday because today's Monday.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, well, that was after the game, though.
Yeah, but it's,
the
guy wasn't before. Yeah, that's true.
And they pooped the bed against the Pirates yesterday. But they are playing better ball, 6-4 in their last 10. It's not saying much, but it's pretty good for them considering their horrible start. Interesting to note, though, the Rangers just 6-12 against lefties, so we'll see if Rogers can take advantage of that. Just 8-11 against the AL East, 15-24 on the road. However, the numbers like them. They're Pythagorean expected I win total, Pythagorean. And God knows they love expected win totals over in the warehouse.
They do.
It's 41-37. They are two games under 500 on the year, so they should be better. The O's own the AL West to this point, 9-3 against the AL West. The O's Pythagorean, 30-47.
Worse.
So the numbers think the O's actually have been lucky.
Baseball gods, Jason. Gods.
Now, that doesn't include injuries. It includes what should have happened in these games.
Gods think they're better.
But this Rangers team, I do think, is coming into its own a little bit. They've pitched far better than I thought they would. Even Kumar Rocker was good over the weekend, and he had been a weak link for them. The pitching's been really good, including tonight's starter Patrick Corbin, who looks to have saved his career. I thought he was done after last year.
He stunk with the Nationals.
They have not hit the ball at all on the road. The young guys haven't hit. The guys who've already been paid, like the Seegers and the Simeons of the world, have not hit. If Seager keeps getting hurt and Simeon looks like maybe damaged goods, and we'll see if, you know, Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter and these kids can carry the freight. But I thought they'd be the best team in the American League. They've been anything but.
Their offensive numbers are worse than the Orioles. 26th in walks, 28th in OPS. They do run a little bit, 9th in stolen bases. But
they'll be running this week.
It's been all about their pitching with the Rangers. The offense has been a no-show.
By the way, some notes from Tony Manzalino, who just spoke to the media in the last half hour. Cade Povich is expected to begin a rehab assignment soon. Jorge Mateo starts a rehab assignment tomorrow. And it looks like Jordan Westberg will avoid the IL. Playing tomorrow is on the table, according to the manager.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Said no later than Friday.
All hands on deck. Would have been nice to have him tonight against the lefty. But they've got it. Look, this kid's had been so sort of snake bit by the injury bug here that you got to maybe save him from himself a little bit.
And that was a freak thing.
Not totally. I mean,
in the second base, yeah. But it's just unfortunate because he had the injury last year. He was hurt at the beginning of this year, and now, thankfully, at least avoiding the IL.
Yeah, that's some good news. Orioles, they send out a lineup tonight. Jackson Holliday leading off at second base. Ramon Laureano's the right fielder batting second. Gunnar Henderson batting third at shortstop. Gary Sanchez, your cleanup hitter, the DH. Ramon Urias at third base batting fifth. Colton Cowser batting sixth in left field. Kobe Mayo's back. He's at first base batting seventh. Cedric Mullins batting eighth in center field. And Chadwick Trump. If you're just tuning in, Maverick Hanley put on the 7-day concussion IL. Ryan Mountcastle moved to the 60-day IL. And Chadwick Trump is now catcher for the Orioles, and he'll be batting ninth behind the plate.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was a weekend that really took a toll on this team, from losing Rutschman to, you know, not having Westy in some critical situations against the Yankees team that the Orioles really didn't hit at all the final two games of the series. The bullpen is a little bit on fumes right now. They could really use some length tonight. They're bringing out a guy who got an 8-run lead last time out and couldn't get you 8 outs.
Took too long, Jason.
If you thought it was hot in Tampa, walk outside today. So we'll see, you know, how much of a factor that is. This obviously is an odd lineup. Some of the odd lineups lately have worked better than ones that make sense. They're obviously looking for Gary Sanchez to ambush something against the lefty from that four hole. I find it odd that Cedric's batting that low. He is leading the team in RBIs, and I know it's a lefty, but it's a hittable lefty. We'll see. I mean, if I'm Patrick Corbin, there's no way I'm pitching to Cedric Mullins in the eight hole with Chadwick Trump in the on-deck circle, but that's just me.
I also thought it was interesting, Mancino, when he was asked about Wednesday, them not having a starter, they're evaluating a couple things, because it would have been Sagano on turn, so that's something to monitor.
Orioles and the Rangers, that's a 6:30 start, Baltimore baseball tonight. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, they're at Pickles at 5:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. We talked a little about Sam Basayo earlier in the show. Curious to get Matt Weirich's thoughts on when Sam Basayo is going to be in an Oriole uniform. He covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, and he joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.